Bigfoot Eruption presents Heidi from Corvallis, Oregon, sharing her paranormal experiences. Hi, Heidi. How are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining. I know we've been talking about possibly doing this, and I know also that most of this I've never heard before. So I'm kind of curious. I don't know if I should be nervous.
I know I'm nervous because it's my first time being on a podcast like this, so it's so cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm your sister, and it's awesome being your sister, and we were raised in a Christian household, and our mom was always talking about spiritual things, you know, angels and demons and all this stuff, but I always wanted to see what would that be like to see paranormal things, you know, because I didn't think I had really seen anything. And then when I started seeing some things, I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I can just share some things that have come up in my life that I felt were really interesting, and I'm thankful to that I got to experience.
Grateful. Okay.
About 26 years ago, my oldest was about 2 years old then, and my husband at the time was an alcoholic and drinking, and it was really difficult because he would get angry and yell, and it was really stressful, and we lived in a two-bedroom duplex, and our daughter's bedroom was just across the hall from ours, and he was going to sleep, and so I went to go put our daughter to bed, and I was rocking her for a while, and he had been up and angry, and he would drink beer out of these big green beer bottles, and I had one with me. I never wanted to use it ever, but I was ready in case, you know, it sounds so bad. It's not funny. It's not funny, but it's like weird sharing it with you. Like you said, this might be the first time you've heard some of these things. Just that period of time was really challenging and difficult with his anger, and we didn't know when he would erupt, you know. So I had a difficult day with him, and he went to bed. So I had the empty beer bottle next to the rocking chair, and I'm rocking our two-year-old, and she was having a hard time sleeping. I can only imagine she was picking up on what was going on between her dad and I. So it was taking a long time, and I was really upset. And I would be praying to God, you know, please help us, please, you know, protect us. And one night, it was really dark in my daughter's room. I had all the lights off, and I looked across the room, and I noticed something over there, and it kind of startled me because it wasn't, I want to say it was an angel, but it wasn't illuminated, you know, it wasn't like what one would think based on, you know, like, Bible stories, they show you pictures of angels, somebody with wings and a robe, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was just in the dark, sitting across the room. It's like the top of its head was like hitting the ceiling.
Ooh.
And it had long, straight hair. I don't know what it was sitting on. I can't even remember what setup we had in there for furniture, but it was just sitting there. Its clothes were kind of shimmery, but like blues and other colors, you know. But it just had a solemn look on its face. It didn't look like it was trying to be encouraging. It looked like it was doing its job. And then for whatever reason, I got to see it. And that helped me feel a lot better. You know, like maybe my prayers were being answered, or, you know, I was getting through, or God decided to let me see something because I needed a little help right then. And that was good.
So it was watching you, and had a somber look, like, oh, I do this every day.
Almost bored, a bored look on it, you know, which I totally respect. I was just surprised and I was thankful to
Yes.
see.
To imagine that an angel is like, oh, ho hum, I'm on the clock. I do this every day. I'm not saying that's what you're saying. I'm just saying I'm having this thought. That like they have jobs, you know?
Yeah, right.
And
Right.
you're also saying that it was sitting down, but its head was touching the ceiling.
Yeah, I got the feeling that it was setting down. But that seems wild when, but it was really big.
So that, yeah, therefore it is big and probably wide.
Yeah, and it wasn't like I could see it, like I could see my a stuffed animal across the room. It was like I could feel it, you know, I could sense it, and it was like I could see it,
So
but
because you were sensing it, because you were sensing it so clearly, it's almost like you were seeing it. Like the veil had been pulled back a little bit. So it was within your space, but maybe not part of your realm. Wow. Boy or a girl?
I got the impression that it was a boy.
Yeah. I think most encounters are the angel is a male. However, we all presume there are girl angels out there somewhere. Did you say blonde?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I want to say its hair wasn't blonde. I mostly picked up on the length of the hair and the kind of the colors it had on, and it's the way its face looked,
It's
like just sort of.
possible. It's possible you couldn't tell the color of the hair because of whatever distortion was still there because of it being a different realm. Also, was the room dark?
All the lights were off, you know, the light was coming in from down the hall, you know, there was just the next door neighbor's lights were on coming through the window. And I perceived it in the light that I saw that the room had, because if it's in another realm, it probably has, who knows what kind of illumination is around it or whatever, or lack of it. It was just like it was there in the room with the same darkness and lights hitting it, sort of thing. Like it
So,
became physical for a moment.
like, sort of taking on the colors of what was already in the room.
Yeah, like it wasn't like it was lit up or anything. It was like parts of it were darker than others because of the shadows in the room and where the lights were coming in from the hall and the windows.
Have you seen this particular character since then?
I don't believe I have.
Interesting
So that
that,
wasn't it.
interesting when angels show themselves as a human form, they seem like on the street, they seem to be of human proportions, but when it's like an angel in its normal appearance, it's really, really much bigger than a human.
Right, and it has a whole bunch of eyes, right? It
Right,
might make you one fearful of its
a
appearance.
lot of angels, based on why God made them and what God made them to do, don't look human at all. That's why, that's one reason why it would make sense to me. Just like one seer said, she saw in a vision, creatures in heaven made by God for a certain purpose. Perhaps the final battle that looked like what people explain Bigfoot creatures to be here on Earth. Made for a purpose. And it's interesting that Bigfoot seems to have been made for a purpose. The way that the foot is especially hinged for walking right up a steep incline, and other such features.
Yeah,
Not saying
that is
Bigfoot's
cool.
angelic, but I'm saying this could be a piece of the puzzle. If,
Yeah.
now God made everything to suit its purpose. Even a bumblebee. It's
Yeah.
the only thing that I know of that makes
Yeah.
honey, or at least honey creating, bees that create honey, were created to do that.
Right.
So hu and humans were created to be able to do some things and not do other things. Birds were made to fly and humans can't. So Bigfoot created
Yeah.
for what its purpose was, or whatever it needed to survive, and in this case, to hide, and to hide like crazy, to go
Yeah.
unnoticed. So yeah, so when God creates something, even the angels, they could look completely different than what we consider or have been taught. It's very plausible to say that, yeah, most times when you see an angel, you're not going to see wings. I would have to do more research, but the whole thing about wings may have been just an artist's rendition back in the
Right.
day for us to associate it. Now, someone called me out on that once, someone who had done more research than myself. So that's something for me to look into. Maybe in my website I should create a page about that.
Well, it reminds me of like the I can't remember the name of it, but I think it's in Rome, the Basilica or something. It's like 2,000 years old, supposedly. And it's like, okay, so 2,000 years ago, they knew they wanted to create all these statues of angels and put them on all these churches. So why are there so many angels that look like this? And were there artist interpretations of angels back way back then? Or did they actually see some, it's just interesting to think about, because
Yeah.
nowadays we have, the Bible for kids, and they have pictures of angels, holding a kid's hand, that kind of thing with the wings and
Right.
the robe. And it's like, yeah.
A lot of the religious art that we see comes from the European artists. I don't remember angels ever being on cave wall drawings.
Right. That's a good point.
Interesting. Yeah, so this depiction of an angel started, let's see, 2,000 years ago, you're saying, as soon as churches and the belief in angels pertaining to God, that makes sense because the Christian church would have started about 2,000 years ago.
Oh, right.
It makes me think
Yeah.
about angels that other religions talk about. That I'm just getting lots of research ideas.
Yeah, that's cool. It's so great living in this time, to learn all this stuff. Like Michael Heiser sharing more about angels, what he learned, or demons, or what, or the Nephilim, where we hadn't heard much about it before. It's exciting to live in this time.
Right. I spent 20 years in the Air Force. And in all that time, I didn't hear about these topics hardly at all.
Right.
I don't think podcasting had been invented yet. All we had was Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell,
Right. That's so
which
true.
blew our minds.
Yeah.
So but it just seems like, yeah, recently is when the floodgates opened. In part because of technology. Like everyone has a cell phone now and could take pictures of any weird thing that they come across.
Yeah.
There might be more people in the world, so there's more people to experience things, but then to report it. I remember when I graduated high school, I never thought I would be in touch with any of those people again because there wasn't the internet, there wasn't Facebook. There wasn't
Right,
social media.
right.
And then suddenly there was.
Yeah. Right.
So,
I know what you mean. I encountered that also.
you remember this pretty well, this encounter with this angel?
Well, it put a lasting impression on me because that was sort of like the first big thing I ever that I remember seeing.
Do you think?
That could have been supernatural or whatever, paranormal or whatever the word is.
Do you think if you explained it to a crime scene artist that you would have enough detail?
It might be pretty vague. I could give the general idea. Like, I had the impression it was an angel, but I don't know if I saw wings, but I want to say I felt like I did. It just had that the way I felt upon seeing it was a surprise, but then it was reassuring. It just didn't feel evil at all, and it felt like an angel. That's what I felt right away. But yeah, I couldn't say how
For
the wings looked or anything.
me, it's reassuring that you didn't see wings. If you
Mm, that's cool.
saw wings, then I think it would be easier for someone to say, "Ah, oh, you were just dreaming." Because
Yeah.
wings is the stereotype.
Yeah,
And
that's
so I
true.
think that's cool that you didn't see wings. If you had seen wings, I don't know, because I don't know if I'm a believer in the wings. And it doesn't matter what I believe, but it just sounds more authentic to me that you didn't see
Yeah.
wings. Or
That's a
maybe
good
the.
question about wondering if I could tell somebody who could draw a picture. I mean, even for me to draw a picture of it before I forget, would be good.
I have this one contact in Washington, and whenever he sees a creature, a Bigfoot creature, I ask him, could you draw it? Could you please draw it? Doesn't matter how good or bad, just while it's fresh.
Yeah.
So I say for you, definitely, I know you have some skills. Why don't you draw this face as best you can? And maybe I
Yeah.
could get that from you and put it in the website.
Yeah.
And that.
This story reminds me of another story that is just really quick,
Okay.
if it's okay.
Yeah.
When we used to go to church, every Sunday, and my second oldest daughter would sit with me during church, and she was maybe 12 at the time. And we would sit in the back, and there's these people a few rows ahead of us. There's a family, mom and dad, teenage daughter, and then a son, a younger son. And this daughter told me while we were sitting there that there's an angel by the teenage daughter. And I'm like, oh, wow. I know I would want to hear that if someone saw an angel by my daughter. So I went up there and I told them what happened, and later I asked her to draw a picture of it, and she just made a scribble blob. And we didn't know yet that she had schizophrenia, and it was just presenting itself. But they say people with schizophrenia, maybe they're really seeing what's really there. But I just thought it was mind-blowing that she thought this was an angel, and the way she drew it was sort of like a blob cloud scribble thing. So that was interesting.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe it looked like a blobby squiggle thing.
Yeah.
And yet she felt it was an
Yeah.
angel.
Yeah, I thought that was nice.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. So this was someone sitting with you?
Yeah, it was my middle daughter, who was about 12 at the time,
Okay.
while we were sitting in the back of church during service. She noticed a family a few rows ahead of us. They saw
And she's not
this angel.
She doesn't commonly tell you stories like that, so this
Oh yeah, no.
matters.
So I was really excited to hear such things because you hear people seeing angels or whatever really neat things, and I'm like, well, why aren't we seeing these, you know?
Yeah.
So whenever something would come up, it'd be like, oh yay.
Encouraging, encouraging for her life that she would have that experience, and maybe that would help her to believe later in life of things that could help her to remain a believer of certain things. Yeah. And what, and you say there's four rows in front of you.
She noticed it while everyone was standing, you know, for like the last song, you know, of church. So, yeah.
Do you,
From we all have to stand.
yeah, do you talk to her about this sometimes?
I haven't in a while. That's been like 13 years ago, which is amazing.
So, like a year after it happened, did you sometimes talk to her about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she said it was they were it was kind of lit up looking like kind of whitish. Yeah, to her.
Do you still have her initial drawing?
If I do, I don't know where it is. It was just in a tablet that I use for many things.
Watch.
But it'd be funny to ask her now, hey, do you remember what that looked like? Can
Hey,
you draw a picture?
could you draw that again?
Yeah.
Watch, it turns out that picture is the Holy Grail that unlocks the whole mystery of angels.
That would be cool.
Interesting. The description she gave, for lack of a better word, sounds almost ghostly. But when you're being portrayed as a spiritual being, what I mean is, we've heard a lot of podcasts recently that talk about actually angels are physical. Like, why else would you need a UFO to physically travel from here to there, let's say? It,
Oh, yeah, that's a
it,
good point.
And if you're a spiritual being, why do you need a portal to get anywhere?
Yeah, good question.
If so, now the whole ghost thing, that would be a different topic. I don't know if we're ever going to really understand that. I think angels is a lot easier to understand. Now, seeing someone you knew that died and went to heaven, like maybe God is letting them appear to you for some reason. Even that's more easy to understand than ghosts.
Yeah, after my husband passed away 10 years ago, I was sitting outside in the dark, just thinking about things. And I was out there probably for a while, like an hour. It was just relaxing and nice. And then I felt this reassurance. And then I felt like Dad, who had been gone, I'm not sure how long at that point, 12 years maybe. It's weird the time that passes by. Oh, so much.
Yeah,
But
okay, so
it felt like he was standing there, like he was sending love or reassurance because it was a difficult marriage. It was he was we were walking on eggshells every day, though he did have his nice moments. But it was like Dad, and so I was just like kind of like a whirlwind of feelings. Like I was sad, yet I was thankful that God took him home so he could be healed. And relieved that we wouldn't have to walk on eggshells about him anymore, but still sad, you know. So it almost felt like I could see Dad standing there, and then it was gone, or it was just such a strong feeling that that's what I felt, you know, like, thank you, you know.
yeah. So how long after your husband died did this happen?
It was just probably within a few weeks after he passed away, which 10 years ago, last August. So,
Were you at home?
yeah, I was out on the back porch
Okay, back porch. Someday you'll have to show me where Dad was standing.
Yeah, we had because we didn't have a fence around our whole yard, the cats would roam, our cats would roam the neighborhood and get in trouble. So we had a gazebo pressed up against the back door with this tree cow deer fencing material around the outside, so the cats would have a place to be, without running away. I could put them in there. They wouldn't escape. So he was standing up against that.
Okay.
Yeah.
How old did he look?
Not the age he was when he passed, like in his late 50s.
So he died when he
I'd
was.
say he yeah, isn't that weird? I think you and I are almost just the age. I don't even know the age he was, unfortunately, but I know
Yeah.
I'm close to
We're
it.
well, check this out. If he was born in 1941, and he died in 1996. I guess he wasn't 56 when he died.
55?
Yeah.
He was 55, so we both passed. Are we past that age? I'm looking forward to getting past that
You
age.
just passed him and I'm approaching.
Okay.
But he,
Yeah, thinking about, yeah, just thinking about dad and all this health stuff.
well,
It's so young.
and to think whatever life you have until you die, from now on, is more than what he had.
Yeah.
And same for me. So
Or,
I think
yeah.
I should very much not take for granted the time I have after that point, because it's time he didn't get.
Yeah.
Now, I know he's happy
Yeah.
in heaven, and the last 9 years of his life filled with complications from quadruple heart bypass surgery, and already having a bad heart since the day he was born anyway. In
Yeah.
heaven, much better. And I remember we were actually praying for him to die so he could be free, which
Yeah.
is also kind of a selfish, guilty feeling, because then that sets us free of having to feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I've had to think about that from time to time, the feeling, the guilt.
Yeah.
Like,
And not we're now that we're older too, we have different perspectives and things we might have said to him or things we might have done with him or things we would have asked him, that I wish we could still do, but at the time raising kids or being in the military or whatever, your mind's so full of just surviving and
Surviving and moving on with life. I know I was always thinking about when will I meet the person I'll marry someday. And so when I would visit home or even where I was stationed, that would take up part of my time. I would write letters, but of course, part of my time was pursuing what my life would be. And if I had been married and living closer, I'd like to think I would have had more time for him, but I don't know that either. He died before I was married. It's okay. That makes sense that he looked younger than he did when he died. What was his visual expression?
Well, it was like with the angel thing, it's where it's not like I'm looking across the room at a stuffed animal. It's but I totally sense it. I can feel the emotion coming off, and like if there's a picture of him there in my mind, but I don't know if I'm seeing it with my spirit. I don't know. You know what I mean? But he was stand it was like he was standing there and he didn't say anything, but his face, my impression was that he was sorry, for what I was going through. And
Wouldn't it be great if he could show up more often,
yeah.
as if to kind of give some kind of answer for certain of life's questions?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like a couple of months ago, I was out in the mornings. I get my coffee and I go sit out on the back porch and to wake up. And one morning, I usually sit in those white plastic yard chairs that are cheap, but there's a yellow chair out the yard. Sorry, there's a yellow lawn chair out there, and it was that lawn chair near where I was sitting. It was like all of a sudden it felt like somebody who loved me a lot and knew me was sitting there and sending me love. And I'm like, because you're in that moment just gathering, perceiving, trying to take in all the information that you're receiving, even though it's not with your eyes, it's not with your ears, you know what I mean? It's not with your smell, it's a different sense.
Okay.
But like gathering information like a detective, okay, what's going on? And it felt loving, and it made me think of Dad, and I don't know if it was. And also I wonder, my brain just was not working right in that moment, but it just totally blessed me in that moment, because being stressed out about stuff, it was nice to get that feeling of love for a moment, which I at the time thought maybe it was Dad, but
Yeah. Now
yeah.
you rarely conjure up this sort of thing. So for it to happen
Right.
like that, you can't say you're confessing that you're not sure what was really going on there, but for it to be such a rare occurrence and to feel that feeling of love probably means it was somehow him through that veil. Giving you comfort.
Yeah.
There was another time he showed up, but go ahead.
There was another time he showed up.
Yeah, so he died and we had the memorial, but one member of our family stayed behind to prepare the food
Oh, right.
because she didn't like him. And dad showed up. I imagine like looking through the window in the kitchen face to face with dad, and he said the person's name and said, "Why, my wife has forgiven me. Why can't you forgive me?"
Oh.
And she said, when mom got home, she said, "Robert appeared to me and said this."
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So some people didn't like him.
Yeah.
But he
And
was,
some people love them.
yeah, he was known for being a loving dad, a fun dad, and
Definitely.
so yeah.
Sorry.
Would you like to share another story?
Well, thinking about Dad and how when Mom moved out of the house that Dad last lived in with us, and she moved to a town 30 minutes away,
You can say
that
the
house was kind of haunted and stuff.
town.
And I wonder if he ever came there to see what was going on.
I'm gonna say it. Lebanon, Oregon. Wow. And it was a manufactured home. It wasn't like some older Victorian home.
With all the things that Mary would see floating through the air, or my kids would be really scared to be there or have to spend the night, because we had to live there for a few weeks while our home was getting done being built.
Mary being our sister. And Mary was, 10, 11, 12, probably 13.
One time, Mom and her were gone. I assume they went to Central Oregon for a week, and so her home is in Lebanon, and I lived in Corvallis, so we would drive there and feed the cats. Well, they had two cats at the time. And one time I went there and my kids were, two daughters that I had at the time were still pretty young, you know, 12 or younger. And so nobody was home, but the cats were there. And I go inside and I'm walking around and I feel like somebody's following me. It's not my kids. It's someone is following me around, but I can't see them. And I get this feeling of they're angry and they're like, you need to leave. You need to get out of here. Like it was their domain. And I'm thinking at the time I was getting angry because it's like, man, this is my mom's house. I'm just here to feed the cats, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I felt like there was this lady and she was on this platform that's really what I got in my mind. And she was floating around, following me around. Like she wanted me to get out of there. So I'm like, look, I'm going to feed the cats and I'm leaving.
I did,
and then I'm like, let's go. And I didn't want to deal with that, and I thought, how rude, you know. that never happened again. But I know lots of other things happened in that house, but I thought that was strange and kind of weird to talk and funny to talk about, you know, like what was her deal?
How close were you to saying in Jesus' name?
Yeah, well, at the time, I wasn't going to stay there that long anyway, but it was just sort of like, I was kind of getting mad because this thing, this whatever, was like, yeah, now I would probably do something, you know, but at the time, I'm just like, I was getting angry at its attitude, and I just wanted to. And I said a prayer, you know, like protect the cats, you know, I just had to get out of there because it was so annoying and, you know, the B word kind of thing. And I was just like, I told mom about it later. But since then, Mary has said, and I don't know if this is true, but just to give an idea of all of the things they saw and all of the things that happened there, they wondered if, like in the living room where the TV was, and mom's bedroom was right behind that wall. Maybe there was not a gateway, but some sort of portal where people that die could go through. And I don't know, but you know, with all the activity there, something was going on. So
interesting. We do know, in mom's opinion, that some men at her church did not like her. They were
They were
Masons.
Right.
And she felt they were trying to curse her. And she said they didn't like me because she would play the piano or the organ. And she would praise the Lord and sing the songs with really that feeling of believing and loving.
Yeah.
So these particular Masons evidently didn't like that kind of thing. We know, we've heard that the Masons at the deepest level are not worshiping God, and the darker, deeper levels of that group.
Right.
So then what mom experienced was nighttime visitation from somebody or something that would leave like needle marks in her arms. And I think sometimes she would even say, sometimes she knew when it was happening, but she couldn't move. Oh.
Yeah.
And actually, she still has these weird things that she can pop out of her skin. You remember that?
Oh. I remember her she told me that she told you, or you told me that she told you that she had an implant come out. Again, she said.
And I've asked her and I've told her, okay, hold on to those. Put them in a plastic baggie. And I've totally forgot about it recently.
Yeah, that'd be something. It'd be cool if a guy could just go and get, I don't know what you would use, but get scanned and see if there's anything under your skin that you don't want there. I mean, I don't know what kind of machine that would be.
Right. Ugh. And you know why somebody might do that to mom? Yeah, she loves God. And so if you hate that, maybe you'd want to target her. But she lived alone, well, with a young kid, no husband,
Yeah.
not a large family. Who's going to believe her? Also,
Right.
the person I mentioned that presumably dad spoke to after his death in our kitchen in that particular house, that same person had the same visitations and way worse.
Yeah.
So maybe
Is
it's.
it okay if we say what relation they were to our mom?
I wouldn't
Or
use the person's name, but we could say that that was my mom's sister.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seemed to happen about the same time in both how in my at our mom's sister's house and in mom's house. They were both getting visitations at night for a while around the same time period, which was strange, but they were in each other's lives then a lot more.
Right. One of the visitors at the aunt's house was a young adult man who was kind of transparent and like a government worker that's kind of a shadow being, or like is there but isn't. Like, I don't know how that works, but to not be there physically, but somehow a government worker is there.
Yeah.
Like some technology that helps to make that happen, I don't know. But her niece could see the dude and
Yeah.
had a relationship with him. And oh, and here's something else. Well, as far as like, hi, what's your name? Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And eventually that ended, I
Didn't
guess.
he like come through this mirror on the wall or something? I am trying to remember.
That sounds about
And how do
right.
you, how would you even talk to somebody that came through a mirror, you know? So that
Well,
would be something.
like when you saw the angel sitting in your two bedroom,
Yeah, that's true.
in your two bedroom duplex,
Yeah.
I was wondering, how were you not freaked out? I've always wondered and I've always thought, I almost don't want to see an angel because would I pee my pants initially?
Yeah, like
The
the shock of it, like,
angels always seem to say, whoa, 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 don't fear.
yeah.
Why would they say that? Well, because people are afraid. Because there's something about, like seeing Bigfoot, okay, there's something wrong about this. There's something out of this world going on here. And
Yeah.
so to see an angel and to realize it would only probably take a couple seconds to say, ah, I get to see an angel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We were brought up, and a lot of other people were brought up to believe if we don't understand it and it's spiritual, then it's evil. You know, whether it's cryptids, at least that's how I felt growing up, you know. So it's like that instant reaction of, oh no, this is probably something bad. I need to protect myself. Anymore, I'm more like, just try to be prayerful all day, and if something happens, to realize because I don't understand it doesn't mean it's bad, you know,
Right.
because there's a lot of things out there we don't know even know about yet that are just normal, regular things but seem like supernatural because we're just not used to them.
Yeah. Imagine the opposite of, is that an angel? I'm a little scared. Okay, no, I'm not scared. Now I feel good. The opposite, if it were like a demon
Yeah.
or, let's say, fallen angel. So
Yeah.
an angel that's against God, the opposite
Or
feeling.
yeah, or
How
would our spirits pick up on that? Or what if they're trying to fool us? You know, they say test the spirits, you know.
Oh yeah.
But are they, or what if they come across? That's just something I always wonder, you know, what if they come across really nice, but what if they're being deceitful? But I'm just trying, I've lived my life being quote unquote fearful of things I don't know about, where I feel more open, not to go off the deep end, but like I know there's like other experiences I had that weren't bad, that they seem good and loving, you know, that I'll share about, where now I feel more like if I'm prayerful, and I'm ready, hopefully everything will just click into place if I need to be on the defense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or just enjoy the experience.
It makes sense that you would be more likely to know the distinction because you are trying to remain prayed up and ready. Prayed up and ready. Now, we've heard that Satan is beautiful. Most handsome
right.
guy, most handsome guy, right? And can be like an angel of light and can seem beautiful.
Right.
And until you, it wouldn't take long, that kind of evil would show itself. And people who aren't being watchful or careful probably would be deceived, have been deceived. I'm probably still deceived a little bit here and there. As selfish things get in the way, we try to justify a lot of things in our lives. So if an angel's sitting there, how are we to know it's not a bad angel or a demon, except for how you're feeling at the time, and then its actions?
Yeah.
That would be a good study.
Yeah. Because it's these things, at least for me, happen so rarely. It's like you wish you could experience it again, or I wish I could experience again so I could react differently, or I could, you know, not worry or whatever.
Yeah.
While it's happening. Like the total eclipse that happened a few years ago here. It was so amazing. It was like an amusement park ride that I don't know if I'll get to ride again, and I wish I could just ride it right now, you know, the way the light got dim and everything got quiet, and it was just so trippy, but cool.
Yeah.
yeah.
I was just trying to think of a distinction that we could make for a demon, and it's just coming back to my mind. A demon needs a host. A demon is a spirit, at one point having been disembodied, we think, and can't leave the earth, or if it can leave the earth, for some reason it can't go to hell. And if it can go to hell, it somehow gets out. Maybe because we do things in our lives to open that door, things we shouldn't be doing. But if
the demons are the Nephilim, quote unquote, souls or spirits, is that right?
Right, the disembodied spirits of the giants is probably how. What'd you call him, Heiser?
Heiser, yeah.
What Heiser said, and I'm sure L.A. Marzulli has said it, but don't quote me on that. And Timothy Alberino, this is the kind of thing he would also mention. All three were guests on the Blurry Creatures podcast, if anyone's wondering.
Nice.
So yeah, disembodied spirits, the giants, the giants.
I was so amazed when I first heard that from Heiser, that demons are really the disembodied Nephilim or whatever. I'm like, whoa, no, I never heard that before. And then all the reasons why and the information, that made sense, you know?
Yeah, I think growing up,
yeah.
For some reason growing up, you know, we didn't know that. So I think we thought they were just the bad angels. But the bad angels, I think, are in hell, in bondage, in prison. Satan's not in hell.
Oh, you mean like the Watchers?
The Watchers that came.
They're underground, right?
Wow, this is a study. Definitely put a page of this in my website. Somebody is in hell already. Someone's in bad, bad trouble already, and they're in hell already. For some reason, Satan's allowed to roam free. For now.
Right.
And if the dis... And, I want to say the fallen angels are in hell already, but wouldn't they be still free roaming about causing trouble? And we've heard that not all the fallen angels are in league with each other. They're still fallen,
right.
But they're all basically a bunch of gangsters that are against each other.
Yeah.
They have rankings, and they have the ultimate goal to be against God, but that they're not necessarily friends.
Being led by Satan, per se, like in a military obedience sort of thing.
Well, and likely, like, Satan may not be pulling the lever on a lot of things, but because of what he instills in people, he can get them to, with their human nature, just create wars or whatever on their own, and then he stands back and watches it happen. Like, humans don't need that big of a push to do the wrong thing. However,
right.
We've heard, like, alcoholism is a spirit, adultery is a spirit.
Oh, right.
When somebody is being exorcised, for a demon to be exorcised out of them, the exorcist often says, "Spirit, give your name." And the spirit often gives not really a name like John or David, but
yeah.
But I am murder. I am lust.
Right.
Like that's their yeah. job title.
Yeah.
So if spirits have been given tasks, jobs, orders, that's like very planned out, very orderly. Like there's a structure there.
Yeah.
In fact, those spirits are probably in bondage. Otherwise, why would they say, no, I don't want to be lust, I want to be murder, or whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, really.
There's so much we don't know.
Yeah.
And we're probably not meant to know, you know what I mean?
Oh, right.
We're probably meant to just love God, and that is our protection. Then we get to heaven, and,
yeah.
then we know the stuff that would blow our mind.
Yeah, like in the Bible it says, Jesus said, you'll be able to do what I do and more. And it's like, when is that going to happen? I mean, you know, you hear about miracles here and there, and people praying, asking God to heal them, and they're healed or they're not healed. But it's like if they took a book out of the Bible, say, or they didn't want us to know, or what is it, how are we going to be able to do what Jesus did and more, you know, like supernatural things, where there's a lot of, in my opinion, evangelists that just put on a show to make money, you know what I mean? Oh, we're going to heal these people, then people later say, oh yeah, I was hired
right.
to pretend I was, you know. So it's like Cindy and I were talking about this. It's like, okay, when are we going to get to know what that is? And yet we're just living, trusting God, reading his word, you know, being in the spirit. Like God will let us know when it's time, I guess. But it's an interesting thought that you brought up, you know. Yeah. Well,
and Cindy is someone we might do a Bigfoot episode about with her, some of her experiences, Cindy being one of your friends.
Right. Yeah.
This is probably a good time to say, why don't we finish it up? And as I review what we've talked about, we'll do this again, and I'll know where to pick it up.
Okay.
And so
I made notes for other things to talk about whenever you want to.
Okay. So let's do that. We'll pick this up soon and do another episode.
Okay, sounds great.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.